Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that engages us is from the lesson just read, specifically Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9. They lifted up the basket from between the heavens and the earth. Who will take the garbage out? Has that question ever been asked in your family? It was never asked in mine. For almost 15 years, I was the default and dutiful trash taker-outer. Then one day, I had a great revelation. On the first day of the week, 12-year-old Abby Joy would be in charge of the garbage. On day two, 10-year-old Jonathan Curtis would be on trash patrol, and day three's garbage would fall to little 6-year-old Lori Beth Lessing. Kids! I cleared my throat to summon the seriousness of the situation. This is your moment of destiny. Today you begin taking out the garbage. How did they respond? Let's just say that my divine decree from on high was not met with unending shouts of joy. One day, our kitchen smelled to high heaven. Fearing that my ingenious system was on the verge of collapse, I went underneath the kitchen sink, got out the garbage trash can with the liner in it, tied it all up, put it on the front porch for the little darlings to dispense of when they came home from school, and there I thought, the system is back in place. Did it work? I'd love to tell you that it worked. It didn't work. Nothing worked. All of my subtle hits went down in flames. And so week after week, right there in South Seminary Terrace number 14, the frustrating cry continued to arise. Who will take the garbage out? Zechariah, the prophet, feels my pain. Living in the latter part of the 6th century BC in the Persian province of Yehud, Zechariah was surrounded with mounds and mounds of spiritual garbage, and we know what that smells like and looks like too. In chapter 3 of his book, the prophet envisions Joshua the high priest, who is wearing begadim zoim, often translated filthy garments, but that's being nice with zoim, filthy. Oh, in other contexts like Deuteronomy 23:14, Zoim denotes fecal matter. That's right. Garments covered with fecal matter. Now that's disgusting, to say the least. Well, then in chapter 9, Zechariah envisions Philistines with blood in their mouths and abominations in their teeth. Gross! Chapter 11, the cedar has fallen. The mighty tree is ruined. Who's going to clean that mess up? And then in chapter 12, the oracle contains these words. There's a blazing pot in the midst of wood and a scorching torch among the sheaves. Now that sounds like the prophet will need an industrial-sized vacuum cleaner. Who will take all of this garbage out? Yahweh will, through stork-like women, who, as our text says, lifted up the basket from between the heavens in the earth. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, right? This is chapter 5, 5 through 11, Zechariah's 7th of his 8 night visions. And God's angel points out a basket in the air. Think of it as a flying garbage can. And Zechariah lifts up his eyes. And as he does that, a lid is opened up, and behold, a woman is in the flying garbage can. Zechariah lifts up his eyes a second time. This is the only time in the eight night visions when he actually lifts up his eyes a second time. Why? Because this one is the most complex, you think? Just then, as he raises his eyes a second time, the woman in the flying garbage can tries to get out. God's angel shoves her back in, slams the lid shut, and then the words of our text, they lifted up the basket from between the heavens and the earth. These stork-like women then take the basket with the other woman in it all the way to the land of Shinar. Okay. My hunch is you might have a question or two. Who is this angel? Oh, he's God's angel. He's Moloch Yahweh. He's the pre-incarnate Christ. And note well, he has absolute authority over the wicked woman. She tries to get out, and what does he do? Slams the lid shut. Well, who is this woman anyway? Zechariah simply calls her Ha-Rishah, the wickedness. She stands for Babylonian idolatry. And what's it all mean? God takes the idolatry of the community, puts it in a basket, assigns storks because of their massive wingspan and their ability to fly for long distances, and takes idolatry back to the land of Shinar for which it came, which is the ancient name for Babylon. All this is to say, in very vivid detail, that Yahweh takes the garbage out. Garbage, you see, is a good way to talk about idolatry. Think about the mess we make when we worship Eros, the god of sexual pleasure, Dionysus, the god of wine and self-indulgence, Mammon, the god of money, Prometheus, the god of human achievement, Mars, the god of race and nation. Now, don't get me wrong, achievement, nation, money, we all know these are good gifts from God. But the massive temptation is to take these good gifts and make them, in our minds, the best gifts. To take what is valuable and make them supreme. You see, what happens is our affection for them turns into absolute adoration. And once anyone or anything takes the center of my life other than Jesus, then I will do whatever it takes to get it. I will break God's commandments. I will rationalize all of my indiscretions. I will destroy relationships, and I will do significant harm to myself just to get what I want. And today's no different. Even at a seminary, we still find ourselves rummaging around, don't we, in the toxic waste, looking for that idol we weren't quite ready to let go of. Who will take our garbage out? Yahweh will. In Zechariah's vision, his appointed means of grace are stork-like women. But long before that, it was in God's heart to take away from his people what is rotten and rancid, what stinks and smells. Way back in the book of Leviticus, we have the Day of Atonement, where the high priest confesses Israel's sin upon Azazel, the garbage goat, and he is thrust into the wilderness. Standing in the same tradition as Jesus, who took demons and cast them into pigs, the most unclean of all animals, and they drowned in the Sea of Galilee. And one day this same Jesus will take the devil, the false prophet, and the beast and throw them all into the lake of fire, and he will slam the lid shut. But we're getting ahead of ourselves again. This angel of God in Zechariah's visions finally one day in the fullness of time stepped out of these visions and into the garbage. Golgotha was a place with rotting flesh and the stench of death. Corpses, we know, would sometimes hang there for days, sometimes weeks. There in the garbage, a Roman soldier took his spear and thrust it through our Savior's side, not only to fulfill the words of Zechariah 12, verse 10, they will look upon me whom they have pierced, but all the more so. Zechariah 13, verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened to cleanse people from their sin and uncleanness. And brothers and sisters, that fountain of baptismal water and Eucharistic blood is wide open, and it is a river of life for you. Shel Silverstein has a poem. Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd scour the pots and scrape the pans. She'd candy the yams and spice the hams. And though her daddy would scream and shout, she would not take the garbage out. It piled up to the ceiling. Coffee grounds, potato peelings, brown bananas, rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, covered the floor, raised the roof, blocked the door. Bacon rinds and chicken bones and drippy ends of ice cream cones. It rolled down the hall, raised the roof, broke the wall. Finally, Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. It piled up high across the state, from New York City to the Golden Gate. But we're getting ahead of ourselves again. Oh, someday it actually will be too late. But not now, not here, not for us. Zechariah's bizarre vision of stork-like women, a flying basket, a lead lid, all of this proclaims the great promise of 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So why sit in the stench any longer? I invite you to stand and sing with me, "Just As I Am."